Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there. Yeah. Right there. See him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
Yeah, look. There he is.
Officer,
we have criminals.
He's on the roof. He's alive.
We have people that
right here. Right on the roof. He's getting us now. He went right on the roof again.
Up here.
This is a shocking event to have an alleged shooting at a campaign event for the presumptive nominee.
What we know right now, the Secret Service says Donald Trump is safe. NBC is reporting the gunman fired a weapon from a high point, an elevated position outside the perimeter of the rally. So outside the Secret Service security area, the shooter is dead. Also, a spectator who was attending the rally has been killed, two others injured.
This morning, the FBI is naming the suspected shooter as Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20 years old, from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, south of Pittsburgh. The FBI saying this remains an active and ongoing investigation.
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. Like many of you out there, July 13th had a pretty profound effect on me, as it did on the rest of the nation. I think it was clearly an attack on our country, an attack on our democratic electoral system, and it had a major impact of just the further erosion of our trust in our government institutions. I think it's pretty hard for most Americans to understand when we have what we believe to be the premier or best in the world when it comes to personal protection, the Secret Service, and when we see such utter incompetence of what we think are the best in the world, the idea of a conspiracy automatically jumps into the mind. And if things didn't already look bad enough for the Secret Service, now this has come out this week.
Now to an ABC News exclusive on the assassination attempt on former President Trump. For the first time, we're hearing from members of the Pennsylvania SWAT team that took up positions to defend the former president. ABC News senior investigative correspondent Aaron Katursky has the latest.
I remember standing in the parking lot and talking to one of the guys, and we just became part of history, not in a good way.
The SWAT team from Beaver County, Pennsylvania, knew something about the scrawny young man seemed off. Text messages between local snipers show they noticed Thomas Matthew Crooks at 4:26 p.m., nearly 2 hours before the attempted assassination that would injure Trump, kill a man, and severely hurt two others. "You see me go out with my rifle," one of the snipers texted, "so he knows you guys are up there." By 5:14 p.m., they grew suspicious.
He was looking up and down the building and just wandering around, and it just seemed out of place. We had a text group between the local snipers that were on scene. I had sent those pictures out to that group and advised them of what I noticed and what I'd seen.
What do you think is transpiring once you send in what you've sent in?
I assumed that there would be somebody coming out to, speak with this individual or, find out what's going on.
So how do you know if Greg's concerns about Crooks are being relayed properly?
We don't. We have to assume that when he put that information out to command, that command took that information and did something with it. We don't know if they did.
None of the concerns appears to have reached members of Trump's Secret Service detail. The Washington Post reports they've complained they were never made aware of the warnings. In their first public comments about the assassination attempt, members of the Beaver County SWAT team described to ABC News what they consider to be failures of planning and communication that would prove catastrophic.
We were supposed to get a face-to-face briefing with the Secret Service snipers whenever they arrived, and that never happened. So I think that was probably a pivotal point where I started thinking things were wrong, because that never happened, and we had no communication with the Secret Service.
You had no communication with the Secret Service at all on that Saturday?
No, not until after the shooting, I believe. Yeah.
And by then?
It was too late.
The Secret Service declined to respond directly, but told ABC News the agency is committed to better understanding what happened and is offering complete cooperation with ongoing investigations.
I think we all failed that day.
How so?
life is lost.
Yeah. People died. And if there's anything that we could have done to stop that, we should have done.
Local counter snipers had spotted gunman Thomas Matthew Crooks earlier than previously reported. Bill, as you said, these text messages were obtained by Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley from the Beaver County Emergency Services Unit. And the first message was sent from a local counter sniper who spotted Crooks at a picnic table at around 4:26 p.m. That officer wrote, quote, "Someone followed our lead and snuck in and parked by our cars, just so you know. I'm just letting you know because you see me go out with my rifle and put it in my car, so he knows you guys are up there." Less than an hour later, Crooks had moved and was reportedly right below the local counter sniper team, who were on the second floor in a warehouse building. One of the counter snipers then took photos of Crooks, which were later exchanged in a group chat with a text message reading, quote, "I did see him with a rangefinder looking towards stage. FYI, if you want to notify Secret Service snipers to look out. I lost sight of him." These photos were reportedly relayed to the Secret Service posted in a command center. But according to the Washington Post, the Secret Service agents tasked with directly protecting Trump were never alerted. And now for the first time, the local counter snipers reveal what they saw that afternoon.
He was looking up and down the building and just wandering around, and it just seemed out of place. I assumed that there would be somebody coming out to, speak with this individual or, find out what's going on.
Gunman Matthew Thomas Crooks, who nearly assassinated former President Donald Trump at a rally in Pennsylvania on July 13th, conducted a chilling Google search about the killing of President John F. Kennedy 1 week before the shooting. FBI Director Christopher Wray, speaking before the House Judiciary Committee, said the FBI is still trying to determine the motive of the 20-year-old Thomas Crooks, who fired at least 8 shots that killed one attendee and wounded Trump and 2 others. Rice said investigators have gained access to some of Crooks' electronic devices, including his cell phone. But the usual places where information is stored has not yielded anything notable in terms of motive or ideology. One search found on a laptop tied to Crooks stood out. On July 6th, 1 week before the Trump rally in Butler County, Pennsylvania, Crooks searched, quote, "How far away was Oswald from Kennedy?" end quote.
Somewhere around July 6th or so, he became very focused on former President Trump and this rally. And so one of the things that I can share here today that has not been shared yet is that we've just in the last couple of days found that from our review, to your point about devices, analysis of a laptop that the investigation ties to the shooter, reveals that on July 6th, he did a Google search for, quote, "How far away was Oswald from Kennedy?" And so that's a search that obviously is significant in terms of his state of mind. That is the same day that it appears that he registered for the Butler rally.
The search that the FBI director was talking about was a reference to Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged assassin who the Government and Warren Commission claims shot and killed John F. Kennedy from a perch on the sixth floor of the Texas Schoolbook Depository in Dallas on November 22, 1963. The Warren Commission determined that Oswald was 265.3 feet from Kennedy when he fired the fatal shot. Thomas Crooks was on a roof roughly 400 feet from Donald Trump when he fired the shots that struck Trump in the ear and hit the rally attendees. He used an AR-style rifle, and investigators found 8 cartridges from spent bullets on the roof. The Washington Post reported, quote, "FBI investigators have said so far that the gunman did not appear to have any discernible ideology, suggesting he was not motivated primarily by political animosity. Crooks' apparent interest in Oswald suggests his motive was notoriety, not politics. After all, the official investigation never found a motive for Oswald, and Oswald himself denied committing the crime, a point the Post failed to mention. But it does seem the lone gunman apparently believed in the myth of the lone gunman. Asked whether the FBI believed there were any accomplices or co-conspirators in the shooting, FBI Director Ray answered, quote, not at this time, but again the investigation is ongoing, end quote. Mr. Ray also revealed Crooks had visited the site of the rally the day after researching JFK's assassination, spending about 20 minutes at the scene. He then returned to the location twice on the day of the shooting. It is becoming clear that Crooks' attack was not the result of a last-minute meltdown. He had method and purpose. FBI Director Ray said that Crooks had bought the AR-15 style rifle he used in the shooting from his father legally, although he did not say when. The gun had a collapsible stock, making it easier to conceal. State police officers reported him using a rangefinder, a marksman's aid that measures distance to a target. Crooks had also obtained explosives. Two crude devices fitted with receivers were found in Crooks' car after the attack, and a transmitter was found on his body. A bloodied receipt was also found on Crooks for a 5-foot ladder. No ladder was found at the site. However, FBI Director Ray said Crooks had used, quote, mechanical equipment to get to his perch, but did not elaborate. It is suspected he climbed onto an air conditioner and from there to the roof. And so Crooks turned up on the day with a concealable rifle, knowledge of previous assassinations, a rangefinder, two bombs, and detailed information on the layout of the area? Crooks had also flown a drone around the area of the rally approximately 200 yards from the stage for about 11 minutes at about 4 p.m. on the day of the shooting. It should be impossible for a man to walk into a presidential rally with so much gear, let alone carry it up to an undefended roof with a direct line of sight to the stage. But this is exactly what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th. Statements to the House Homeland Security Committee by Pennsylvania's Police Commissioner, Christopher Parris, convey a series of lapses from law enforcement. The venue had two layers of security, an outer layer patrolled by state police and an inner perimeter manned by Secret Service agents, including an anti-sniper team on a roof behind the stage. An operations center was staffed by members of various agencies present, but on the day, communication was haphazard and areas of responsibility unclear. I'm sure this confusion was in large part that the Secret Service skipped out on a meeting that was to be held with them and other police officials. Mr. Parris told his hearing that state police were responsible for the area around the AGR International Warehouse, the building from which Crooks fired that was around 400 feet from the stage with a clear line of sight. He revealed his men had raised its wrist in the days before the rally and were told by the Secret Service that it was a state police matter as it was in the outer area. As a consequence, a local SWAT-style emergency services unit, ESU, team was stationed inside the building complex, Mr. Parris added. The New York Times reported that the team was in fact two men who stayed inside because of the hot weather. The plan had been approved by the Secret Service, the newspaper source said. Kimberly Cheadle, director of the Secret Service until she stepped down last week, told lawmakers she could not account for why no one was stationed on the roof. The revelations of Crooks' drone and internet searches came the day after the director of U.S. Secret Service resigned, after admitting responsibility for the security lapse that led to the attempt on Trump's life. Cheadle, who led the agency for almost 2 years, emailed staff on Tuesday to announce she was resigning over the incident. So what went wrong in Butler, Pennsylvania? Mr. Parris said that the first sighting of Crooks came from a state police ESU unit. Unlike others in the crowd, Crooks was walking around and did not try to enter the venue, he said. Crooks never made it through the security perimeter. He was not challenged, Mr. Parris said. He was one of three people flagged as suspicious at this point in the event. About 25 minutes before the rally began, however, Mr. Parris said that the ESU team had spotted him again, this time using his rangefinder, though no gun was reported. This is perhaps the point where security broke down in the worst way. A photograph of Crooks was sent by a member of the ESU team to a state trooper in the Joint Operations Room. Mr. Parris said that a Secret Service liaison asked the trooper to send the photo to another number. At this point, it seems that the agents charged with protecting Trump did not consider Crooks dangerous enough to act. No weapon had been spotted. During her fictitious hearing before the House Oversight Committee on Monday, Mrs. Cheadle acknowledged her agents were told about Crooks at least twice before the shooting began. She said that agents only become aware of the gravity of the threat, quote, seconds before the gunfire started, end quote. Mr. Parris said local police, including the ESU team, then began searching for Crooks. it appears he was lost again despite this growing threat. Witnesses told news agency that by this point they had seen a man with a gun crawling along a roof.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. Here he is right there. Right there, see him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
Yeah, look. There he is.
Officer,
we have criminals.
He's on the roof. He's alive.
We have people that
right here, right on the roof. He's standing up now. He went right on the roof again.
Up here.
All of this was happening with Trump already on stage. Mr. Parrish said that Crooks was eventually seen on the roof by local traffic police and his ESU team. One traffic officer boosted up to the roof by a colleague was forced to fall back after being confronted by Crooks, Mr. Parrish told the hearing. That confrontation, the commissioner said, happened, quote, a matter of seconds, end quote, before the shooting. Agents surrounded Trump immediately after the first shots, and he was off the stage within 2 minutes. By this point, Crooks had been shot dead by a sniper. A video recorded on the roof about an hour after the attack shows snipers and Secret Service agents trying to understand who saw what and when, adding to the sense of confusion among law enforcement.
So we don't know. So this is the guy that
Beaver County sniper team has sent the pictures out. This is him.
Okay. All
right. Rifle's right there, obviously.
Got it. So the bike in the back. Is he on that bike?
We don't know.
So you're just treating that as suspicious device.
Correct. Oh, 1 second. I believe the sniper that seen these and sent the pictures is right inside his building. Michelle, is Greg in there? All right, so if you go to that window that's open and yell for Greg, that's the sniper that sent the original pictures and seen him come from the bike and set the book back down and then lost sight of him.
Okay.
He's the one that sent the pictures out. I don't know if you got the same ones I did.
I think I did, yeah. He's like got his glasses on and he's...
So we had the picture of that.
I got that.
Okay, and then this is his bike with the stuff. And our sniper seen him walking away from that, I believe.
Okay.
But he would be right inside that window. He's the one that physically seen this, sent the pictures, and called it out.
Okay, so... And we have somebody detained, correct?
There were
two
I don't
people
know.
Detained on this side. Right. Our guy that was just up here told me that there's a guy detained who's the owner of the bike. And I said, no, that's the owner of the bike.
We've been up here, so we wouldn't know that information.
We just hold ass.
Is that all your stuff? Someone came up looking to treat him.
Gas is off to the building, just so you know.
Thank you. The guys that saw them filming were like, they were filming us, and then filming the guy up on the roof, and then filming us. And then when the shots started firing, they tried to run away. I was like, isn't that what everybody would do that on the phone? I'm not saying they weren't filming, but you know what I mean? Like,
it's still in the air right now, right?
Right. So I got no problem detaining them. I'm just trying to detain those guys, find out what they know, who they are, whatever. I'm trying to get clear information to relay back to DC.
Bring control to the water tower.
We have one shooter deceased. I think we have three victims in the crowd. Did you guys hear that too?
I'm not sure.
So I heard one deceased, two white lighted.
I know the two helicopters did take off.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know how many.
Hello?
In his evidence to Congress, FBI Director Wray said with respect to Trump, there was, quote, still some question of whether or not a bullet or shrapnel hit his ear, end quote. Trump has stated, quote, I took a bullet for democracy, end quote.
They keep saying he's a threat to democracy. I'm saying, what the hell did I do for democracy? Last week, I took a bullet for democracy. What did I do against democracy? Crazy.
So why was Trump allowed on stage knowing that there was a threat? Trump was on stage for around 10 minutes between the moment Crooks was spotted on the roof with a gun and the moment he fired the first shot. There is almost no public account of the Secret Service's actions and decisions during the rally. Mrs. Cheeto declined to answer most of the questions put to her in Congress, down to how many agents were protecting Trump. We do know via Ms. Cheeto that agents dismissed the alerts about him because he was not seen with a weapon. She could not provide at the hearing a detailed timeline as requested, saying she, quote, did not have specifics, end quote. As stated earlier, she quit as director of the Secret Service a day after the hearing under pressure from both sides of the House, and it seems we won't get answers anytime soon. So what was Crooks' motive? More than 2 weeks have passed and we still do not know of any specific ideology or belief that drove Crooks to do what he did. FBI Director Wray told his hearing that a motive was one of the, quote, central questions of his Bureau's investigation. However, he said that an interview with Crooks' associates and searches of his home and online history did not give a clear picture. Analysis of the gunman's phone showed that he had done a lot of searches for news articles, but there was no pattern.
The FBI's deputy director sharing a possible motive during a Senate hearing Tuesday. Investigators discovered a social media account believed to be tied to Crooks. According to the Secret Service, Crooks made more than 700 comments from an account that reflected anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes. The director says the comments are what he described as extreme in nature. The investigative team is still working to verify that account, but given the lack of information on a possible motive in Crooks' mindset, it was important to share now. The acting director of the Secret Service also testified on Capitol Hill on Tuesday using the word ashamed to explain what he saw at that Pennsylvania rally site.
What he planned to do with the explosives, meanwhile, remains unclear. Mr. Wray said that while his bombs were viable, their receivers were off and Crooks would not have been able to demote them remotely. FBI Director Christopher Wray's revelations add to the impression that Crooks was what Oswald was not, a lone gunman, animated by dreams of glory and empowered by the 21st century technology. Crooks surveilled the Trump rally with a photographic drone and used encrypted message apps, which have hampered law enforcement's efforts to pin down his motive. Crooks' interest in Oswald also shows how JFK's assassination is deeply embedded in America's collective memory, a distant crime that remains at the center of our politics. Many have compared Trump's security on July 13th to JFK's security in November of 63. While both failed miserably in terms of preparations to protect the president, there was a distinct difference in their responses after the shots began flying through the air. Trump's security detail fell on him in less than a second, while JFK's security team watched a full 7 seconds of JFK being blown away and did nothing. The only agent to react was Clint Hill, and he acted too late to make a difference. Honestly, as much as Trump's security detail has been criticized, if JFK would have had Trump's security team, he may still be alive today, and our world would be a much different place. We'll see you next week.